How confident are Kings fans this evening with the Kings visiting the Frozen North? Well, we have this on the YouTube chat from Brandon Dietzman. He points out, quote, we could have a beam before sundown if things go well. Let's go to Toronto now. Kyle Draper's standing by. Drapes, do the Raptors have anybody that's going to be taking the court for him tonight?
I got to tell you what, we've lost to Portland with our guy Dwap Reith. We've lost to Charlotte with I don't even know who they had on their team. So I'm not counting out anybody tonight. You know what? They got our old friend Jamias Ramsey on the team. They got Garrett Temple. You know what I mean? There's a couple guys looking for a little payback against these Sacramento Kings. And so I'm not overlooking anybody tonight.
Really? It's true what you say. It's funny. I just looked up, you know, the Toronto Star online to see what they said about the game. And they actually were talking about the young Raptors. And it takes a while to find a Raptors story. They're not the hottest sports story in Toronto right now. But the two players they mentioned in the article about tonight's game and the young Raptors, they mentioned Jordan Wara and they mentioned Jamias Ramsey. And I thought, well, I mean, that's great for him, but this has got to be the easiest game the Kings have had. Maybe I shouldn't go there, Drapes.
Oh, my God, Whitey. Is that how we're starting the show? Bro, how many times do I have to try to educate you, my friend, on respecting the opponent? Kelly Olynyk can go off for 20-something. Ochai Agbaji, I mean, they got some. Gary Trent, Gary Trent, uh-huh. You know, can fill it up. And so I think it's going to be, you know, as Rick Pitino used to always say, poor, hungry, and driven.
Yeah.
We got to act like we're poor tonight. Don't act like we're better than these guys. We got to come out, handle our business, get on to D.C. Now, if you wanted to say this tomorrow, you know, the Wizards, they are just a mess of a team. But, you know, Toronto plays hard and, you know, everybody's counting them out. So I'm not going to disrespect them in our shortened show today. Definitely not disrespect.
I'm not disrespecting them, but facts is facts. I mean, and let me educate you. It doesn't matter whether I respect them or not, because I'm not playing. But the fact of the matter is, as you know, I think you had this before we mentioned it. You shared this with us yesterday. The Raptors have ruled out Scottie Barnes, RJ Barrett, Chris Boucher, DJ Carton, Jakob Poeltl, and Emmanuel Quickley. So, I mean, come on. Looking forward to an easy win tonight. I know it's the NBA and we've been through it this year, but come on, Drapes. Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, that's six of their top seven guys you just listed right there. And, you know, the schedule gods have done us a favor, right? Like, you know, if you're going to have a back-to-back, this is the one you want to have. Toronto, severely shorthanded. They've lost seven in a row. And then you got Washington tomorrow. And so, I hear you, Whitey. I get it. There's no way, right, they can lose this game. But hopefully in the fourth quarter, we're sitting back. We're all talking about, celebration time. Fox only playing 25 minutes tonight, something like that. Hey, I got Jay Triano standing right over here. You should see Jay. He's walking around this building like he runs things. I'm like, coach, you ain't been here in a few years. Like, you ain't coach here in a while, but he's still the man around here. It's pretty cool to see.
We should point out, and thanks to Drapes for, coming on with this series. Clearly, we don't have our normal audio hookup, and that's no one's fault. I guess somebody – is it the Kings or the Raptors having, like, a closed practice, Drapes?
Yeah, the Raptors are doing a closed walkthrough right now, and I think this is the first one of the year where we've had to encounter this in terms of me being on the road and us unable to access – location. And I was telling Jay also, the thing about the Raptors location, their broadcast location, the radio location is in row two of the so even if it was, you know, closed, I couldn't even sneak out there because it's like right there courtside. And so they should be out in about 10 minutes or so, I'm being told, and then I'll sneak in and have our usual setup right there.
Look forward to that. Here's a suggestion. I mean, you might want to tell them, look, you know, not, I understand what you're saying about respect the opponent. You might want to tell somebody with the Raptors, hey, you don't have to have a close practice. Nobody knows who these guys are. It doesn't matter if we see them or not.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you tell them, hey, nobody knows who these guys are.
What has Toronto done to you? Did they revoke your passport or something? Is that why you're going in on them? You know, are you just anti-Canada or something
not
like
really,
that?
Not
like,
that much. Cool.
Why are you going in hard on the Raptors? I know they're struggling. I know they've lost seven in a row. But I guarantee you this. You talk to any member of the coaching staff, they got respect for some of these guys. Gary Trent Jr., I mentioned. Don't forget your boy Bruce Brown. Remember Bruce Brown?
Oh, yeah.
You were high on Bruce Brown.
Yep.
Exactly. He's on the Raptors squad. Kelly Olynyk. So they got a few guys. And so I'm not going to let this Raptors slander continue for the next 46, 50 minutes or whatever it is.
What, if anything, Drapes, can you tell us about the Kings' health outlook for tonight, starting with Katie Christensen's foot? She's good to go, right?
She's good to go. You know, she went to the infirmary, and they checked her out. And so, no, she's good to go.
Good.
Obviously, no Kevin Huerter. He didn't even make the trip with the team. Sasha Vezenkov isn't going to play either tonight. He's getting close, though. He's getting close. He's with the team. Questionable went through. They had like an optional shoot today, so they didn't even have a full shoot around. You know, some guys shot last night, some guys shot this morning, and obviously no Trey Lyles. But, you know, for the most part, pretty healthy outside of those guys we mentioned. And so, you know, it's when you look at this schedule, we played Memphis the other night, and they had their G League team minus a couple guys. Same thing with this Toronto team. Like, the Kings, you know, even though we've been bitten with the injury bug here over the last 1 or 2 weeks, at least we're going against teams who aren't at full strength right now. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can weather the storm for a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty clear when you look at the standings and you see that Toronto has lost 7 in a row, that as a franchise, they've made the decision that it's probably in their best interests this year not to pursue the play-in. However, as we all know, players don't care about that stuff. Players don't sit there and go, oh, you want to tank? You know, players play hard because that's how they're wired. So I do understand the possibility that the Raptors bring a genuine effort tonight. I'd be surprised if it's enough. I wanted to get your opinion on the Vezenkov thing here, because Sean Cunningham is reporting back home here that Vezenkov not playing tonight but may play tomorrow. And it sounded like perhaps we have a situation where Vezenkov is good, but you know, you don't want to play him in back to back. So maybe it was, we don't know, but maybe it was a matter of, yeah, he's good to go, but we got to pick one of the two games. We're not going to play him back to backs. So maybe tomorrow night's his return night.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's the case or not. Like if they chose, you know, tomorrow would be because of the opponent, or give him one more day to ramp up as well. And so they didn't do much though last night and today. And so he will be fully rested. I wonder, and I'm going to go out there because I'd like to see him, you know, at times, Whitey, they'll do 5-on-5 full court before the game with certain guys. I wonder if that's the game plan for Sasha tonight, and that's why I can't wait till it opens up, because you got to imagine they got to get his conditioning up. I know he's been practicing and doing stuff, but it's obviously nothing like game conditions. But I want to see if they put him through any kind of special drills or anything like that workout before tonight's game. And as soon as they let us in, I'll let you know what I see out there.
Yeah, we got Drape's takes coming up, so make sure you stick around for that. Looking at the bottom of the play-in bracket, and with the Kings now, of course, we're focused on sixth or higher for them. But it's interesting what's going on now at the bottom of the bracket. The Warriors, when they lost to the Knicks this week, Steph Curry was asked about, you know, ninth or tenth, and he said, what does it matter? Eighth, ninth, tenth. He said, the way we're playing now, it doesn't matter. So, you know, he's had it. But the thing is, the Rockets keep winning. Right now, the Rockets are 2.5 behind the Warriors for the 10th spot. Do you think the Warriors might actually be in danger of missing the play-in?
I don't think so. You know, as much as I would like to see them miss the postseason, I mean, you know how I feel about them. I just look at, you know, a lot of times we break down the strength of schedule, and starting tonight even, the Warriors got a cupcake matchup tonight, you know. I look at Golden State's schedule. They have the 26th easiest schedule in the NBA.
They also have the tiebreaker already with the Rockets too. Yeah.
Yeah. And they got the tiebreaker. The Rockets, the 11th, easier, so toughest, however you want to, frame it. And so it's going to be an uphill climb. You know, I'm looking at this Warriors schedule. The only thing that, to keep an eye on, they played the Mavericks twice. And so we played the Mavericks twice. They played the Mavericks twice. So from a Kings perspective, you know, the Warriors could be doing us a favor. I hate to say it, man. We may have to root for the Warriors for a couple of games, but those are, you know, some of the games I'm looking at. Whereas you look at Houston and their schedule, they also play the Mavericks twice, you know, and so they have a tough, they play OKC, Minnesota, Clippers. And so I think what you're seeing with Houston is sort of like the Houston we saw to start the season, but it might be too little, too late.
One of the absolute keys to that whole easiest, hardest schedule the rest of the way, and this is something you've pointed out to us, it's based solely on winning percentage, and they don't take into account whether you're home or not. I believe Dallas, right. I got to double check this, but I believe they only have like 5 home games left. So that's another thing that bodes well for the Kings going forward.
Yeah, I got it right here. Dallas, at home, they are 21-15. So that's 36. They have 5 home games left.
Yeah.
And they have, it looks like, 8, if I did my math right, road games left. Man, they only got 13 games left.
Wow.
Yeah, they only have 13 games left. And so, no, you're right about that. And 2 of those road games are in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got a tough schedule left to go. You know, like you said before,
yeah,
they're listed at 28th in terms of 28th toughest. But like we said, they don't factor in that you got to go on the road. It doesn't factor in injuries and all this other thing.
Now, as you know, you're my guy, so I'm always looking out for you. And so you should be aware of something. You said something on the show yesterday that Jay was not crazy about, and we may have to circle back to that today. And I just wanted you to know he may be laying in the weeds for you. He wasn't, if I understand him correctly, wasn't crazy about your statement that the Kings may have the best defensive starting backcourt in the NBA right now. Just so you know.
Jay can't do that, though. He can't. I can't say something. And then he sit on it for 24 hours, go do all the research, have the facts to back it up.
Well, he said it at the time. He said it at the time. Yeah.
We can get into that this hour. I know it's a short show, but I'm ready for that smoke because I stand by my statement. I said they had the potential to be the best starting backcourt defensively in the NBA.
I'm just waiting for him. You got anything, Jay?
No, I'm just getting ready to tell Drapes the bowl is open, man, so you can go head down now.
Oh, it's open now? All right. Now, Jay got to get more ammunition. He's doing more research back there. I think, you know, obviously, and I know who Jay going to come with. He's going to come with the Boston Celtics, no doubt about it. They're up there. But I think the Fox and my guy, Keon Ellis, he could be right there as well.
Whose guy is that again?
My guy, Keon Ellis.
Yeah. All right. I want to make sure, let's see, I want to give you time here to get situated. So is it truly time for him to get back? Okay. We'll take a quick time out, Drapes.
I can go. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. When we come back, Drapes will have your Drapes takes for you as we roll on a short show today as we get you ready for the Kings and the Raptors. Drive guys, Sacktown Sports. We got Drapes takes coming up from Toronto in just a moment. But before we get back to the Kings and the Raptors, want to remind you that if you're ready for a new roarsome adventure, Legoland California Resort has teamed up with Sacktown Sports to get you and the family down to beautiful Southern California for an exciting adventure of a lifetime. Discover Dino Valley, opening this Friday, March 22nd. Bricktastic Lego dinosaurs roam at Legoland California Resort. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now, looking for caller number, what do you think, Jay?
Going 8.
Caller number 8 to score those family 4-packs of Legoland California Resort tickets. Book now at Legoland.com/California. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. That's 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hey, Kyle Draper, guess who's in the studio with me already? One guess.
High Flyer.
He's here, and he's plugged in.
I'll be quiet, but when he leaves, I'll be talking again.
Hey, if you're going to jump on our show, you're going to have to start paying us. You know what I mean? We're going to get some bouncers in here and start charging you admission to the club, big fella. I know you're trying to boost your ratings and all by coming on the Drive Guys show, but you can't be doing this every game. I'm just saying. Dude, we still got 40 minutes in our show, big fella. What are you doing?
He's trying to talk, but Jay isn't turning his microphone off.
Exactly. Good job, Jay.
Man, why are you always trying to bully me, man? Why are you always trying to bully me? You know, I thought we was boys, man. You know, me and Drapeston hung out a couple of times. We didn't had lunch. Boy, he turned on you quick, don't he?
Yeah.
Hey, High Flyer.
What's up, baby?
Hey, your shift your shift don't begin till 3 o'clock, big fella. You've been there since noon, trying to jump in on our show. Basically, you like that dude that come to work early trying to get a promotion,
bro.
It ain't gonna happen,
hey,
big fella.
Hey, you know I'm trying to get in the back seat, dog. You know what? I just want to ride. How about that? You gonna leave a brother at the bus stop?
No. Yeah, I'd always give you a ride, man. You could always hitch your wagon to this Mercedes-Benz of Stockton SUV. So, you can always hitch your ride. So.
Did he just big dog us right there?
Yeah. Oh. You get used to it, Henry. It happens a lot.
I see that, man.
Yeah. Right now, Drapes, whenever you're ready, we're ready for your Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Let me start off with a non-basketball Drapes take, if I can. I know I'm supposed to talk about the Sacramento Kings. I know I'm sitting here with my boys watching Jalen Slauson warm up, watching Colby Jones warm up. But let me start off by saying, how come every time I come to Toronto, it's snowing, it's cold, it's windy, it's rainy? Toronto is one of the greatest cities in the world, ladies and gentlemen. But every time I come here, I'm not able to enjoy it. My guy Jay hit me up yesterday. He's like, Drapes, we're going to get you out of here. I know you got to go out there and hit those Toronto streets. Jay, it was like 28 degrees last night. Your boy was hibernating last night. So let me just start off by saying, it's a great city, but, man, I can't experience it. And we always come here on a Tuesday or Wednesday. How come we don't come here on a Friday? You know what I mean? When it's really popping. And so I just had to get that off.
Right? During Carnival.
Why don't you go in July? You got to go in July or something. You can't go in, you know, in basketball season and expect it to be warm. It didn't work that way.
But I was in Minnesota in January and it was like 60. Kid, you would think at least like one day we would get lucky, but uh-uh. Every time we come here, my guy Garrett Temple in the building. What's up, baby? All right. Let's keep it moving. Drapes Takes continuing here. When I look at tonight's game, and I go back to what we said during the first segment, Whitey, yes, this is a must-win game. Yes, you should take care of business tonight against this Raptors team. Yes, the Kings are a better team, but you got to respect the opponent, ladies and gentlemen. And so I'm not starting off with no pregame slander by the Sacramento Kings fan base, media, Whitey. High flyer, you guys, we got to respect these guys tonight. Trust me, Garrett Temple, one of the NBA's, he can still knock down the three ball. Gary Trent Jr., he can still knock down three. Kelly Olynyk is Mr. International. They idolize Kelly Olynyk. So we got to come in out here with a full mindset of, you know what, we're playing the team name on the front of the jersey, not the guys on the back of the jersey.
Okay, Garrett Temple. Well, Garrett Temple this year is shooting a three ball at a 22.2 clip. I know he's there and everything, but
does that matter against us? Does that matter against us, Whitey? What was Dwop Reese shooting before we said? We never heard of freaking Dwop Reese. And so that's what I'm saying. You got to respect the opponent. And my last Drapes take has to do with my guys in the starting backcourt. And I'll make the case again why I think De'Aaron Fox and Keon Ellis can be the best defensive backcourt in the NBA. I just know what those guys are doing in Boston, what's happening out there. I know Drew Holiday is putting up numbers. I know Derek White is blocking shots. But did you see what Keon Ellis did the other night? And this was off the bench, Jay Johnson. He had 5 blocks. Give me the last time a reserve player in the NBA had 5 blocks. And I say they can be the best defensive backcourt in the league because they have that potential. Are they going to bring it night in and night out? That's the only issue with them. We know they have the skills, but I think defensively they can be the best backcourt in the NBA. And you saw Keon's numbers. He just wreaks havoc on guys. I think Fox has that potential as well. And so that's my take on the defensive backcourt.
The high flyer made a face there. I know Jay wasn't crazy about it yesterday. You did soften your stance a little bit since yesterday, but I'm looking forward.
No. What did I say? You tell me what?
Yesterday you said you could make the case that they're the best starting defensive backcourt in the NBA right now. which is, and you, I'm not saying you're walking it back, but now
well,
you're
we
saying
we haven't seen it though. I mean, I'm just saying we haven't seen it. That's
right.
The only reason.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. I'm not soft. They definitely have the. We got to see it. Mm-hmm. I think they definitely have the potential to be that. And like I said, there's only one backcourt, unless Jay did his research, stayed up last night or something like that. But there's only one backcourt, in my opinion, that can cause the kind of havoc, and that's the guys out in Boston.
Poor Jay, and he's, you know, he's got phone calls he's got to take, and he's keeping things
on
track
here. Oh, all right, all
right.
So Whitey, that's Drapes Takes, man. It's brought to you by Alsco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms. I'd like to hear the rebuttal. Why am I crazy
for
thinking that?
You will. I just want to point out here before we get to that, you know, I was saying, well, hello, if you want it to be warm weather in Toronto, you got to go in the summer. Apparently, and you may know this, your timing, I guess, is just really off here. They've just had one of the warmest winters ever in Toronto. And now the first day of spring is like winter warning. So, yeah, bad timing there for you.
Of course. That's the story of my life right there. I land somewhere and old man winter shows up. I was wondering because it's freezing out here. The high today was 34, and I said it's a beautiful city, but driving around yesterday when we came in, I was like, man, this place looks like New York in December, you know, just grimy and gritty. I'm like, where's the life in Toronto? And so I guess I just missed it.
Snow flurries Wednesday. Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, glad you're safe and at least in the arena. High Flyer, what'd you think of Drapes?
Hold up for a sec. Yeah. Curtis. Hold on for a sec. This guy trying to get some pub back here on the YouTube. Slide on over, Curtis. Slide over, all right? I'm messing with you, man. All right, go ahead, Whitey. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask the High Flyer what he thought. He made a face when you said what you said about the Kings starting backcourt. I mean, not a face. He didn't scrunch up his face. He just kind of raised his eyebrows. What do you think of that notion, Henry?
You know, it's for Kings fans, it's feasible. It's definitely feasible. For the nation, I'm pretty sure people are like, whoa, Drapes, where you going with this? You know, but defensively, both of those guys can lock in. I mean, Keon does a great job on the defensive end. He has a very high basketball IQ. I like what he brings for this team. But I'll tell you what, for them to get national recognition like that, De'Aaron is going to have to be doing what he's doing exactly right now, playing Herculean. And also, Keon is going to have to be not dominant on the defensive end, but he's going to be dominant on the offensive end for even the Kings to get the recognition that they truly deserve.
How much easier does Keon Ellis make the defensive job for De'Aaron Fox?
Oh, a lot. A lot. Because, you know, Keegan Murray still is getting the number one defensive responsibility out there.
Mm-hmm.
So Keon gets the next guy. You know, right now, just say if we play the Golden State Warriors, De'Aaron get the guard, whoever's in the corner. You know, he don't have to be on the number one guy. He don't have to guard Steph. He don't have to guard Clay. He could be on that. He could be guarding Moses Moody in the corner somewhere. So, yeah, it makes De'Aaron's life a lot easier.
All right, we got Drapes in Toronto. So we're getting ready for the Kings and the Raptors. Waiting for Jay to weigh in on this topic of the Kings backcourt now. Does it deserve consideration as one of the better defensive backcourts in the NBA? That's next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Shorter show today, but what a party we're having already. We've got the High Flyer in here getting ready for game night. Kyle Draper, of course, in Toronto. And Drapes, we're just talking during the break here about what Henry likes about the topic you brought up. How good is the Kings backcourt defensively? How do they stack up against other teams? And Henry just loves the fact that, you know, if other people were to start looking at the Kings that way, it's just so rare for them to get any kind of notoriety nationally. So he's hoping that other people start talking about this too. Am I right?
I mean, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, for Sacramento to get their just due, it's almost seemed like they got to go to the moon and back for them to get their recognition. We were just talking about Sabonis. You know, it's a travesty. This dude don't get the recognition that he deserves. If Anthony Davis was doing the exact same thing Sabonis is doing, they would be throwing a parade in L.A. right now.
Yeah, they'd have just given him the MVP trophy already.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, 50 straight double-doubles. Can you imagine, like, and doing things that only Wilt has done, right?
Yeah.
And you're 100% right. Or if he was playing in New York. And, you know, the whole thing about the defensive backcourt argument that I'm making, when you look around the league, guys, defense is optional now, High Flyer. And so when you look at a lot of the backcourt, starting backcourts in the NBA. They got one guy who's all-world offense but doesn't play defense, and then another guy that can do, you know, do a little bit of both. Outside of maybe Boston, and that was my argument, outside of maybe Boston, I think this Sacramento Kings team can be the best defensive starting backcourt. If, like you said, High Flyer Fox brings it night in and night out.
I think the High Flyer and
– that's in his DNA.
I think the High Flyer and Jay may have a disagreement with you, but I don't mean to put words in people's mouths.
You know what,
talk to me. Let's hear it.
Sure.
It isn't a name.
Hey, check this out. It ain't a disagreement, but you got to give these guys their just due. I went with Minnesota. I went with Mike Conley and Ant-Man.
Yeah, they're for sure above
that. Nah, you cannot.
Yeah, for sure.
I went with Mike Conley and Ant-Man.
I think Ant-Man is overrated defensively.
He's the number one defensive rated guard in the league. League right now.
Nah, you see, but
don't look at the numbers.
Give me the stats. I'm not about the stats, big fella. I'm talking about impacting a game defensively.
I think
Mike Conley's 60 years old, Jay. Come on now.
And getting it done.
And y'all about to say.
And getting it done, though.
And this is the problem.
You don't think our guys got the potential? You don't think our guys have the potential?
Yes, they do.
Great up there defensively.
They
do. That's what I'm saying.
But KD, they got to be two times as good as those other guys because their market's higher.
Hmm. Yeah. And that was kind of what I was saying yesterday is just looking at it on paper, and this is – I'm glad you said this, Drapes, is – and I don't want to be negative towards our guys because that's kind of what the position that I'm in with this. But the fact of the matter is you said you got one guy who, you know, is offensively just statistically above the rest. And I think that our guy is De'Aaron. Like De'Aaron defensively has all the potential to do a lot more than what he does. And he's not reaching the potential that he needs to be considered, you know, a top two, top three point guard. And I think that's what we continue to argue here in Sacramento is like, and just what HT is saying, we want all the respect in the world, but unfortunately, there are some marks and some, you know, some benchmarks that De'Aaron's going to have to do. I think Keon creates a whole different avenue and hopefully opens up, you know, an avenue for De'Aaron to be better defensively. But I just think Boston's better. I think the Knicks are better. I think Minnesota is better.
You think Jalen Brunson plays defense?
Man, these guys are all higher rated than these guys, though.
No, like, but that's the team, bro. Like, look at and the guys you mentioned, Minnesota, top five defense. I'm sure Knicks are up there also.
Sure.
And I'm talking just individually, these two guys, and I don't know what's happening behind them. I don't know what HB's doing. I don't know what Domas is doing. I don't know what Keegan's doing. I'm talking about their ability to wreak havoc.
No, they have that.
I don't think Houston is there.
Yeah, they have that.
Because their numbers are based on the team defense.
Yeah.
Well, they're rated high because you got Rudy Gobert behind you, and so you can take more chances, and you can do more. You can pressure more.
I just want to say on Jay's behalf, you know, he doesn't need me to say it on his behalf, but he made the point. For him to come out and say, I don't know if the Kings have the best defensive backcourt, that's hardly being critical of him. You know, that's just, you know, we're just trying to be – fair, right, and balanced.
Of course,
yeah.
I think the key is based on numbers.
Yeah, what you said is the key
his
is like
number,
De'Aaron
his
Fox.
Argument's based on numbers. Though.
No, it's not.
When you look at, it's not.
No, it's not. I'm just saying.
You just said it's all. Yeah,
but
all
Keon Ellis
higher.
Hasn't played long enough for us to say that, has he? Keon, we don't know, and De'Aaron Fox leads the league in steals.
You know
I think, but
can I say this, fellas?
More to playing defense than that.
Can I say this, fellas?
Yeah,
I see where KD is coming from because
I do too.
You know what?
Of course.
Here's the thing.
Potential. He said potential.
No. Yeah. You could always throw numbers out there. What Keon Ellis brings for this basketball team, a lot of times don't even come up in the stat sheet. How he creates havoc out there on the floor. Now, I will agree with that, you know, because you really can't just look at numbers and quantify and say, oh, well, that guy is the best. Not really, because like I said, a lot of things Keon does on the floor, it don't come down to say, okay, he get an exit over there. This dude gets deflections. I mean, he's pressuring the ball all the way up. He jumps in the passing lanes. He does so many other things on the floor that's not marked down on the sheet.
Yeah, and to Kyle's point and the point you just made, it's the hardest thing to do in maybe all of sports is to measure defense that a basketball player plays.
Yeah.
Because like Kyle said, it's a lot of it is the numbers are going to be produced by how good the guys behind you are. It's really hard to find any numbers that accurately can tell you this guy's a good defender and that guy's not. It's just really hard to produce those
numbers. Because if you're smart – as a guard, and you got a Rudy Gobert behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gambling so much.
Yeah, that's what Drake was saying.
I'm gambling every time because you got an equalizer behind you.
Yeah. But don't we need to know more, Kyle, and see him longer before we can start saying?
Oh, 100%. But and that's what I said. They have the potential. Like, Keon, I'm not worried about. Like, the Keon we see, that's who he is. He's not going to take nights off defensively. And that's something I mentioned the other day, which sets him apart from other guys around the league. He's engaged in every single play. He's not losing focus outside of the one against Jalen Brunson where he got fooled. But, like, he's competing on every single play. And that's something I think which is in his DNA. Now, De'Aaron Fox has the potential to do that. You know, the coaching staff is challenging De'Aaron to do that. If De'Aaron had the same mindset defensively as he does when he gets pissed off at somebody or when he really wants to dig in a lot, if he had that same mindset a full 48, they could really do some special things in the defensive backcourt, I think.
Let me say this. When you say a full 48,
yeah,
I'm going to keep it 100 with you.
De'Aaron's not doing it, though. How many years are we going to continue to talk about potential defensively for De'Aaron Fox? We're pushing up on year 8 now.
Not only is De'Aaron not doing that, you probably will be lucky to find one guy in the NBA who gave it 100 on the offensive end and 100 on the defensive end. It's not happening.
Right.
And it's physically impossible almost, right?
Ant-Man can do it, right?
But he's doing it. That's the difference, is that he's doing it. We're not asking for potential.
No, Jay, you got to – don't – dude, close your freaking laptop, Jay.
I don't have nothing open. I don't come with a laptop.
Games, big fella. Watch the games, man. Watch Anthony Edwards with a close eye. I'm not saying he's horrible defense. I'm not saying that. I don't think he's a lockdown guy unless he wants – like, I watched last night's game against
Denver.
Denver?
Denver.
Yeah. Jamal Murray was blowing right by him. Come on, man.
That happens every day in the NBA, though. Like, how many times can we talk about guards getting blown by in the NBA? Like, you're talking about high efficient point guards and shooting guards. Look, the potential word allows this argument. Point blank period is, and this is why I said I have to argue against what we have. The thing is I've seen some of these guys make plays. I'm not saying I haven't seen De'Aaron make plays. I truly trust in what Keon is doing. I think he's going to make De'Aaron better because he is a better defender and he plays hard. I think there are some opportunities for De'Aaron to have shown and proven that he could be better defensively, that he has lapsed, has not done it. I've seen people go at him just as much as he's went at other people, and I think that's the problem I'm having with potential. Like, if Keon makes De'Aaron that much better, like, so then now we're talking about Keon can be a top three point guard, defensive guard in the league. If we're saying that, then I'll back off. But I'm not sure of that yet because I'm only saying for a quarter of a season.
I think the question is, how much better defensively can De'Aaron Fox be? Can he be a consistently elite defender? We think he can, right?
Let me ask you guys this. How many number one offensive players in the league are being questioned about, can you go 100% on defense? It don't happen.
That's what Mike Brown is asking of his guys.
But what I'm saying is, great point.
Yeah.
You can ask all day and night. Name one of the top 10 scoring guys in the league that goes 100% on the offense and 100% on the defense. Now, I'm not saying, you know, he just lacks on defense. No, but I'm saying 100% all the way through ain't going to happen, bro. Well, it's not going to happen.
But how much better can he be?
Whether it's 100%
or not.
Point.
Yeah.
Not many guys do that, but the Kings guys, they have the potential. If De'Aaron wanted to, he could be a lockdown defender.
Easily.
It's not for lack of skills or lack of tools or anything like that. It's just he picks and chooses his spots. Let's call it what it really is.
But KD, he could be a lockdown defender, hands down. But I tell you what, he won't be averaging 20 on the offensive end.
Right. Yeah. So it's not a matter of, oh, he doesn't want to do it.
No.
It's just you only have so much energy.
Exactly.
Because you're a human being. Unless you're, what, Kobe or Michael, right?
They didn't do it.
No.
And they didn't do it. Mike played good defense. Kobe played okay defense when they wanted to. 100% ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody does that. You're just using words now, High Flyer. You're trying to use my words against me. Nobody in the NBA plays 48 minutes all out hard. I'm talking about in relation to other guys in the NBA, our backcourt, they have the potential to be one of the best, if not the best, in my opinion. Look at Boston. Look at Boston, right? Look at Drew Holiday and
Derek White.
Our guys can't be as good defensively?
And Drew Holiday's pretty
Holiday
good.
Drew Holiday has some strength to him. He's pretty good. But that's what I'm saying. I think that's just, it's just my opinion. It may not be your take. It's not Whitey's take. It's Drape's take. I think our guys can be elite defensively.
They can, but you're not asking them to be Tatum and Brown.
Hmm. We'll take a timeout. The conversation continues. We'll come right back. Also take a look at John Hollinger with another backhanded swipe at your Kings when we wrap things up here. A truncated edition of the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Kyle Draper's in Toronto. We got the High Flyer in studio with us. Jay over there keeping us on track. And Kevin Whitey Gleason. So Drive Guys getting ready for game night. Drapes, to the point you made earlier about this game tonight. You know, I may have said some things about the Raptors that reflected an apparent lack of respect for the lineup they're putting out there tonight. And I was talking to Mr. Turner, during the break. I will just say that let's hope the Kings don't give the Raptors any reason whatsoever to think they can win this game, right? Don't give them any reason whatsoever at any point in the first three quarters to think they might win. Because if you look up at the scoreboard in the fourth quarter and they're in it, then you got an issue, right? We don't want any part of that.
And that's been a problem for the Kings all season long, fellas. Like, they give teams hope. You know, the great teams in the NBA, they usually stomp teams out. You know, you look at, obviously, the Celtics are the class of the class. But, you know, they stomp teams out. The Kings, meanwhile, they let guys hang around. You know, they let G.G. Jackson hit a couple of early threes, start feeling good. And same thing with tonight, you know. It's like Gary Trent Jr., he's a guy, and I know his numbers might be down a little bit this year, but he's a guy that could hit 8-9 threes in the game. And so, to your point, Whitey, send a message early on. Get up double digits first quarter. Be up 18 going into the half. Have this Raptors team, who have lost 7 in a row, have their spirits broken instead of allowing them to stick around and gain confidence.
Well, first thing, don't even let the name on the jersey confuse you, okay? We let T.J. McConnell come in here and have a historic night.
He looked like Tiny Archibald.
Exactly. So, you know, if the Kings come out tonight and give these guys hope, I'm going to pass a kidney stone the size of a grapefruit because this team is way better than that, and we're at a point to where we can't have any more mistakes, any more hiccups. I wasn't happy about the Memphis win. I was happy we won.
Oh, really?
But the way we won, I'm like, we snuck this one again.
Yeah.
We snuck that game again. You can't have those type of games when you're trying to do something special.
Is Malik like the only guy on the team? Well, Domas a little bit. I was going to say, is Malik the only guy who's immune to all that? He's not quite, but he's definitely the leader when it comes to not getting locked down and all that.
Not afraid of the moment. Yeah. Malik Monk is the only dude. Right.
The only dude?
No, De'Aaron.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Domas, maybe some.
No, De'Aaron's the only one. Malik is number two as far as being guys who are not afraid of the moment and we will be willing to take the shot because I've watched about four of the Sacramento Kings pass that ball around and don't want no parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
At crunch time.
Yeah. That's one of the things that happens against bad teams when it gets late. They feel that pressure, don't they? Right. Again, it's like, we're not supposed to lose this game, and we're losing.
Hey, and pressure bust pipes.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys.
What about that kidney stone? How big is that kidney?
Grapefruit. Grapefruit.
At times, I feel like the Kings succumb to the pressure a little bit.
Yeah.
They do.
Like,
they do, KD.
That fourth quarter against Memphis, the turnovers, sometimes they get a little jittery out there, I feel like.
Exactly.
A little tight in the booty, if you will.
KD, here's the sentiment of it. What happens is they start playing not to lose instead of playing to win. That's what you see on the floor.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to work at this level, High Flyer.
No, it's not. Not too well.
Uh-huh.
Because you're going to lose more than you win if you start playing like that.
I want to see what you guys thought of this. John Hollinger, you know, he writes in The Athletic, and he's not always a guy that says the nice things about the Kings. He's writing about the NBA West, and he points out that, hey, this summer – It could be tough for Dallas. Could be tough for Phoenix with all the contracts they have. He says this about the Kings, quote, "Finally, I'm not sure Sacramento would be happy to lose in the first round, but let's at least celebrate the quiet miracle of the artist formerly known as Kings becoming a completely normal basketball team, one for which we can write things such as, they can be a top four seed next year with a couple smart moves without breaking into hysterical laughter," end quote. So he says some really nice things in there, but he wraps them up in this tried and true Kings ridicule.
Unbelievable. No, you know, and Hollinger, here's the thing. That's a backhanded compliment. If I'm correct, the Kings were a top four team last year. What is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't earn respect last year? Well, obviously, we didn't earn respect from him. What is he talking about? Like, the Kings, you go through arenas now. You know, I'll tell you what. In High Flyer, you know this. The mark of a team that's made it or is doing some big things is when you arrive into a city at 1:32 in the morning and you still see fans outside your hotel room, outside waiting for you when you check it. We're seeing that with the Sacramento Kings. So
wow.
I'm not listening to John Hollinger. They were a top four seed. They're a few games out of the top four this year. What is he talking about?
I tell you what. This is when you know you've made it as a basketball team. When you walk into Minnesota and you're up and it's 20 seconds left and you hear over the broadcast, "Light the beam, light the beam." Yeah. That's when you know you've made it.
All right, and we could have a beam lighting before the sun goes down tonight, actually, if things go well with this early start. Drapes, have a great call tonight. Thank you. Jay, great job. Stick around for game night with the High Flyer himself. Y'all warmed up now? You're not going to pull anything?
Yay.
Yeah, and Scott Marsh, game night next year on Sacktown Sports.